And that comic book changed my life.
While critics have dismissed them as nothing more than kid stuff,
comic books have been a kind of a gateway drug to knowledge.
I've tried a lot of hobbies. Now, I'm on the hunt for my next hobby, some common, some not so much. This week...
Ever since the Great Depression, superheroes have dealt with deep personal, social, and political issues.
Comic books.
The combination of words and pictures did something inside my head that had never been done before.
You're listening to That's a Hobby. I get the best seat on the sofa, a bowl of salty snacks, and dive into a world of superpowers and cliffhangers with a stack of comic books. I explore the different eras of comic books, talk about discovering graphic novels, and how digital comic books changed everything. I'd like to claim comic books as a 90s kid thing, but they've been a thing for over 100 years, with generations of kids and adults claiming them. It feels like every decade there's a comic book resurgence. With the onslaught of comic book movies and shows, it feels as if we're going through one right now.
Comic book superheroes, in some ways, are more popular and more prevalent than they've ever been.
Are we really, though? I think what's actually happening is we're just adding new generations of comic book lovers. Comic books started in 1842 in the US with the release of The Adventures of Mr. Obadiah Oldbuck. Comic books were really just strips in newspapers, and that's where the speech bubble was established. As comic strips became popular, so did their artists and authors, and newspapers competed for them. In 1934, the first true independent of a newspaper comic book was published.
It was the cheapest way for newspaper publishers to repackage their comic strips. It was the video tape of its day.
This kicked off what's known as the Golden Age of comic books from 1938 to 1955. Comic books of this era could be categorized by superheroes and funny animal themes. Other genres started to develop too, like Western, sci-fi, romance, and horror. Sales started to decline in the 1950s and were hurt more when, like most media, it started to get condemned for their effects on children, namely the horror and crime genre.
Comic books are obscene glorifications of violence and crime. Today's children have been seduced by Superman.
The Comics Code Authority was created to protect young minds.
When the comic book business came under attack,
a psychiatrist named Frederick Wortham suddenly got on a soapbox and began preaching against comic books.
He went around from prison to prison interviewing juvenile prisoners. And one of the questions he asked him was, what do you read? Well, he discovered that all of them read comics.
The Silver Age started in 1956 and lasted till 1976, with the resurgence of superheroes.
Comics were huge in the 70s, and Superman comics were in huge demand. Just recently, there was a Superman comic that sold for over $3 million.
Non-superhero comics died out and publishers closed, leaving Marvel and DC the majority of readers. Marvel grew to being the dominant publisher in the Bronze Age of comics from 1973 to 1985, with the introduction of new and exciting characters. It's during this era of comic books that independent and underground comic books surfaced with new distribution models and aesthetics. It's also known as the Dark Age of comics because of a new, grungy take on superheroes. Then came the Modern Age, from 1986 to 2015, which kind of resembled the Golden Age with a boon of new characters, art styles, and adult topics. Readership levels also resembled the levels seen during the Golden Age. As a millennial, comic books were a big part of pop culture when I was growing up. Couple that with the activity of hanging out and browsing shops, which pretty much went away with Blockbuster, reading and collecting comic books was a big part of my entertainment. My parents had a pizza restaurant, and there was a dingy comic book shop next to it. Actually, I think all the comic book shops back then were dingy. Anyways, I remember browsing the dollar comic book bins looking for that special comic. What made a comic special? Obviously, it had to be a first issue comic. I could be sitting on a gold mine.
You know what this is? Spider-Man? This isn't just like number one Spider-Man. This is the first time anybody saw Spider-Man.
Oh.
You have one of the like holy grails of comic books.
The idea that collecting something could lead to a fortune was pretty common. We did it with hockey cards, and lots of kids did it with Beanie Babies. None of us got rich, though. Back to comic books. I kept those no-name first edition comics in their seal and waited. I don't know what I was waiting for, since there was no way of knowing if they were worth anything. But I put them up on my wall as a reminder of my investment. When I wanted to actually read comic books, I'd go to the library and take out 20 comic books at a time. I remember each comic book felt like a dozen actual pages of story and another dozen pages of ads. I tried to savor every page and stretch out the few minutes it took to read an issue to 15 to 20 minutes. I read mostly X-Men and Spider-Man, since they were both on TV and I was familiar with them. I did branch out sometimes based on covers, but that didn't add anything to my regulars. Eventually, video games came along and comic books went away. I still liked the characters and would occasionally read a Spider-Man book here and there, but I never went back to the library to get more comic books. Fast forward 10 to 15 years when I had some disposable income and a bookshelf to fill in my first house. I was, and I still am, an avid reader, so I would regularly buy 3 or 4 books at a time. So when I was at the bookstore and saw comic books that were hardcover, and they didn't look like they were made for kids, I got curious. I learned that there was a new genre of comic book called graphic novels, which were thick and they didn't have the same childish designs or topics.
While comic shops are always the core of our business, the fastest growing area is bookstores, the graphic novel and the collections that become graphic novels.
The first graphic novel I bought was called From Hell, a violent, chaotic, and famous graphic novel about Jack the Ripper. Suddenly, I didn't feel like I was doing something childish. I was reading an adult story, just with pictures. A whole new world of entertainment was now available to me, and there were so many books to read. Thanks to Google, I got a list of acclaimed graphic novels and got to reading. I read Watchmen, a story about superhero life with real-life consequences, and an idea that came out of the dark age of the 80s. I read The Walking Dead, another horror comic book that obviously, eventually, became a part of pop culture with its TV show. I read Mouse, M-A-U-S, maybe the most influential graphic novel of the era, about Polish Jews in the Holocaust, but told as mice. Once I got over the quasi-embarrassment of reading comic books and discovered there was a lot of 20, 30, 40, and 50-somethings reading graphic novels, I looked into characters I liked growing up. What if those stories had grown up too? Ever since seeing Jack Nicholson fall into a vat of acid and turn into the Joker, Batman has been my favorite comic book character. I mean, I must have seen that movie when I was 5 or 6, and I remember asking my mom how the Joker had a permanent smile on his face. The 90s were all Batman. There were all the movies and the different people playing Batman. I can't say the quality got better, but as a kid, even the terrible Batman movies had enough in them for me to enjoy. There was the critically acclaimed Batman the Animated Series. It was dark, gothic, and scared me as much as it had entertained me. Then came Batman Beyond at the end of the 90s, which was about an old Bruce Wayne taking a young kid under his wing as the new Batman. The only thing missing was a really good Batman video game. That came much later in 2013. Before the video game came the Batman graphic novels. As I went down a rabbit hole of adult graphic novels, I googled Batman and found an endless list of comic books. I won't go into all of them, but with the Batman character, supporting characters, and storylines, there's no shortage of fantastic books. How did the Joker become the Joker? What did Batman's first year on the job look like? If Batman and Superman got in a fight, who would win? I know that one seems obvious, but Batman is pretty clever. And did Batman actually help Gotham, or did it lead to the creation of super criminals?
Batman will still be around in 100 years' time.
Besides the fantastic and always growing catalog of comic books, one more thing led to comic books being a regular part of my entertainment escapes. Digital comic books.
Don't get me wrong, but I think that electronic comics are really the way of the future.
Like music and movies, once comic books were digitized, I could access basically any and all books from my computer. I was able to read 10 times as many books as before. I downloaded dozens of books on my laptop and read them till the battery died. Now, it wasn't as intimate as holding a book, because I had to sit at a desk and use a mouse and keyboard with a screen 2 or 3 feet away.
It'll never be as pleasant to read something on a screen as it is to hold it in your hand and to turn those pages.
But that started to change with the iPhone. I had already been reading books on my phone since my first black and white BlackBerry. I loved having a library in my pocket and the ability to read at any time. As smartphones became more common, I started to watch movies on their tiny 2 to 3 inch screens on the bus. When the iPhone came along with its bigger screen and apps, I enjoyed reading up to 3 paragraphs at a time compared to the one on my BlackBerry. And then when the first comic book reader app came along, called Zeal, I still remember the name. I couldn't believe it. I was so close to reading comic books as if they were in print. On the original tiny iPhone screen, I'd have to read them in landscape mode and pan panel by panel, zooming in and out. It was definitely more intimate than a laptop, but obviously it wasn't ideal. The iPad was the only Apple product I bought day one, and this is really the main reason. I could finally read comic books on a screen almost as big as an 8.5 by 11 paper. I could hold it with one hand lying down on a couch. I could read in the dark with its backlighting. Today, I still read on my iPad with its better, sharper screen, and it checks all the boxes. You may have picked up on a theme across some of the hobbies I've tried where I try to justify the time I spend doing them, either through physical or mental growth. I have a problem where I tend to feel guilty when I spend what little free time I have being entertained. When I don't have the energy to exercise, I choose to read a book rather than watch TV, so at least I can say I'm exercising my brain. I don't even know if reading is substantially better than watching TV, but that's another issue. Comic books fall into that sweet spot of entertainment, with the beautiful art, superhero comic books, and the adult genres to fulfill my mental exercise portion of my anxiety.
On a very, very good day, that becomes art. On an ordinary day, it becomes escape.
It's also one of the few hobbies I've kept over the decades. I think it's because the catalog is so varied that as I age and as my tastes change, there are topics and books that keep up. Also, they're obviously really entertaining and a valid form of storytelling, with mainstream media poaching stories and making billions from a handful of characters. So, I'm happy to end this episode, unlike the majority of past episodes, by saying this is one of my favorite hobbies and one I can see enjoying for the rest of my life. Hey, listen, I want you to know that your time is valuable to me, and the fact that you spent it listening means a lot, so thank you. Please remember to subscribe wherever you listen, and maybe tell a friend or two. If you've tried this hobby or you have hobby ideas for me, let me know on Twitter or Instagram. See you next week.